Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dave's trying to get it done this afternoon. We'll keep you updated as they finish up their series with the Giants. Also, big news in college football as Arch Manning decides he is going to commit and has to the University of Texas, which is a little bit of a surprise, I think, for some people. But remember, Texas is coming to the SEC. So, Mike, at some point, you know, hopefully he's a class of 2023, five-star quarterback, best in the country. But he'll be in the SEC with the University of Texas. So it's not like he won't be playing SEC competition. But I do think that, you know, Georgia, everybody kind of thought they were the front runner. Certainly Alabama with the quarterback pedigree you talked about. Mm-hmm. But was this just simply Steve Sarkisian and his pedigree with the guys he's put in the NFL and the quarterbacks he's worked with?
Yeah, that was my suggestion because, you know, from Carson Palmer to most recently Mac Jones and or to, you know, Tagovailoa, he's had them all. Munkin, you know, he's certainly solid and, you know, it's not easy. He knows what he's doing, but it's just who's the guy that's going to get you next level? You know, they can go anywhere. They're the Mannings. I mean, the name, image, likeness isn't a concern. He's in a really good spot. This is Cooper's son for those that aren't familiar. But I was talking to a couple of listeners on Twitter during the commercial break. And again, Carl's a graduate of UT in Austin. And, you know, it's just, I was joking. I'm half kidding, but it's kind of half serious. I go, well, look at the bright side. If he goes to Texas, he gets to throw the ball 50 times a game. They don't play a lick of defense out there. They're going to have to play better defense coming to the SEC. Comes to Georgia, Kirby wants a balanced attack. You're going to play in front of a better offensive line at Georgia than you are at Texas. But at the end of the day, I think the resume and also carving his own legacy at Texas, I mean, that could be pretty cool. Sarkisian is a really big-time offensive mind. I mean, I was kind of weighing back and forth, you know, the pros and cons of one or the other. Both schools are loaded with prospects. Somebody's feelings are going to get hurt in that quarterback room at either Texas or Georgia.
No doubt. Matter of fact, you know, Texas had a really good quarterback, Evers, who had actually committed to Ohio State, didn't play, and then transferred. And they were talking about this could be a competition because he's going to start this year while Manning is still, you know, finishing up high school. But he's going to start this year, and then you get Manning to come next season. And what happens in the spring? It's a competition. I mean, it's that simple. But we'll see, man. It is interesting that Manning made his commitment now. I thought he might wait, Mike, a little bit longer. But it's June, and he's like, look, I'm going to go ahead and commit. So, again, it's verbal. This is not – he's not signed. So, you know, guys, in this day and age with the portal and all this stuff, could it change? Yeah, it might change. I mean, he might decommit. We've seen that happen and maybe, you know, decide to go somewhere else. But as of right now, he has decided the University of Texas. More on this coming up at 4 o'clock as we talk about the Dogs in college football. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
So, Mike and I were on yesterday. We didn't get a chance to really see all the testimony. I saw a little bit of the highlights of it from Roger Goodell. But I do want you to hear some of it in regards to the Commanders, because this is, you know, the Oversight Committee trying to figure out where the NFL is with Daniel Snyder. Roger Goodell said they're trying to handle this the best way they can.
We believe that we've addressed this issue responsibly. Fairly, by protecting not only the people who came forward to help us address this, but also making sure that we saw that transformation in the Washington Commanders organization.
So he's talking about protecting those who, you know, testified. They fined the Commanders $10 million. Snyder allegedly steps aside, lets his wife run the organization, so he's not in the day-to-day operations as we speak. They're trying to clean up this mess. And I think that's what Roger Goodell was trying to say. Mm-hmm. But Mikey also talked about the fact that he doesn't have the power to remove Snyder.
Do you have the authority to recommend that Diane Snyder be removed as the team owner?
Okay,
you can recommend
the gentlelady's time has expired. Your time has expired. You may answer a question. Should Dan Snyder be removed?
I think I'm good.
Remove him. Will you remove him?
I don't have the authority to remove him.
It requires 24 of the 32 votes from the owners, guys.
Well, I'm not sure that representative or senator is, but man, that voice could cut glass. Yeah, man, we said this yesterday, and I tweeted it again today. Jerry Richardson was got within literally less than 4 months. Sports Illustrated had that bombshell story that talked about everything from sexual harassment in the workplace to racial epithets about African-American employees, and he was gone. Daniel Snyder has done the same kind of stuff and, by the way, allegedly cheated his partners out of money. So unless Daniel Snyder has had his investigators looking into other owners, this baffles me, Carl, that they can't move this guy out. Because, again, it was literally 5 months from the time Richardson's story broke to the time he'd sold that team to Tepper in Carolina.
So we said yesterday, Goodell can't just throw somebody out. He is technically right, but he can start the process. If he goes to the other owner and say, we have a problem, which they did, to Mike's point, with Jerry Richardson, then again, it requires 24 of the 32 owners to say he's got to go. But that's a vote, and that's how this thing works. So he can't technically, even if he disliked Daniel Snyder, and he might, just say he's out of here. So I know it sounds coy, but he's not necessarily lying. He can't just pick up the phone and go, you're done, get your stuff, and you're out of D.C. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and he's got to deal with the owners. Remember, guys, as we've said, I think by now most of the people, Carl, listening to our show realize – the commissioner doesn't work for you, the fan, or the players. He works at the behest of the owners. And the owners use him as a lightning rod. So whenever there's a situation, he draws all the heat. And again, it would come down to the Rooneys, the Maras, the Arthur Blanks of the world getting together and then forming that whatever that majority would be to move a guy like Snyder out. It is interesting, though, because this guy seems to be in the headlines for over a decade now for all the wrong reasons. The NFL, I think most people would agree, would be a better place if he wasn't an owner.
Yeah.
But you begin to wonder, what has this guy got on the other people? It's the only reason he still have this gig.
So, Mike, what about John Gruden? Because his lawyer spoke out about Goodell's testimony, saying that it's apparent that the commissioner's testimony today, which was yesterday, that the NFL is still resisting actual accountability and is only willing to be selectively transparent. Now, listen, I don't disagree with this. I've said it. Release the documents.
Right.
Let us see everything you guys know so that people can make a real judgment. But Goodell has said, we're trying to protect those who testified. We gave them, you know, autonomy as far as giving us the information we needed and move forward. I understand all of that. But he is right. This is selective transparency, Mike.
I just can't imagine how Roger Goodell can look anybody in the eye and say they really did the job when it came to that investigation that was brought him to the, again, up to Congress to testify in front of this oversight committee, when the only guy that got was complete misdirection, just to give the fans and sports talk radio and people to go tisk, 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 that John Gruden used racist stuff and homophobic stuff, including a comment about the commissioner. And he's not even a part of the ownership or the team. Yeah. You know, and it's a classic, don't look over here, don't pay attention to this. And, I mean, a blind man can see it. So the optics on this are weird. I don't know if the average NFL fan cares, but it really, I would love to know how Daniel Snyder still has this football team.
I would, too. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Hey, we said it's going to take a while for the lawsuit filed by Brian Flores, who's suing the NFL, before everything got resolved. Well, now the NFL has filed a motion in federal court to compel Brian Flores' class action lawsuit, Mike, to go to arbitration. They made this filing in the district court of the Southern District of New York. And basically, the filing also includes a copy of the NFL's constitution and bylaws. The NFL argued that its filing, feeling that all three coaches agreed to sign their contracts to arbitrate any claims against the teams that employed them. So now the NFL is trying to basically get an arbitrator involved instead of having this go to a class action lawsuit, which is what obviously Brian Flores wants. Who knows, Mike, when this thing may or may not get resolved. But if it goes to an arbitrator, doesn't that change things a little bit?
Yeah, I know that we wanted to hear more specifics about this. And again, was really hoping that more coaches would be forthcoming. I think, you know, it's a bold move to do this, Carl, because depending on how this goes, it could be career suicide for you.
Sure.
You know, in the case of, you know, the Steelers signed him, right, as an assistant coach.
They did, yeah. I don't know what his job is or title or whatever, but yeah.
But it is a slippery slope, and it's the outcome the NFL would be looking for, but I don't know if that's going to get the coach or what you initially thought. From some of the fans and folks that felt this this impediment has been there for African-American coaches, minority coaches to get gigs, and I don't really think this is going to bring anything out to the light, is it?
Mike, if it goes to an arbitrator, I don't know. The class action thing, again, we thought when this initially happened that there were 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, I don't know, how many other coaches were going to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, yeah, let me tell you about my experience. He does have other guys. I mean, Ray Horton, Steve Wilks, Flores. There are other coaches that are involved in this class action lawsuit. But, Mike, you know, I think it was Amy Dash, our Odyssey, you know,
legal expert. Right?
Legal expert, yeah, who said it had to be 15 or something like
right.
that. Right.
There's a threshold for a number of people that had to participate in the case.
Yeah, so I don't know if they have that, if they don't, or if they have it and we just don't know what the other names are.
And how much information comes out of that situation.
Right.
I mean, presumably some of the information will leak out. By the way, some of the information did leak out about Deshaun Watson, something I brought up to you, I guess, on Tuesday about. I bet you the league would love to see Deshaun Watson settle these cases.
Mm.
Pro Football Talk's got an article saying that negotiated resolution was possible but not likely. Josina Anderson, who's working with CBS Sports now, reports that negotiations have occurred. However, talks fell apart regarding the extent of the punishment. So they were trying to negotiate a settlement because obviously we think it might start at a year, might be 10 or 12 games, whatever the number the NFL was looking at. But part of that was you got to get this stuff behind you, or at least the lion's share of it. But it was his, in this article it says, he was resolute to clear his name. But I just think so much of this information, Cross, we say the toothpaste is out of the tube. I appreciate where he's going with this, but most people have kind of drawn the conclusion where this thing was going with him the last few years.
Yeah, and legally, because he's basically got a contract in the NFL, his legal team, they're involved, Mike, but there's little that they can do once the NFL comes down with this punishment. It's about the players' union and then, you know, trying to basically negotiate it
right.
down.
And but this that's is, part of the NFL's like, look, but you know, that before the, hey, we can make a deal with you, but I don't want to ever hear another person come up and say, oh, by the way, you know, here's another lawsuit coming at you. So, and that's where the Players Association and I guess his reps are getting involved, trying to get that thing done.
It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, guys, we got plenty more to dive into. Braves. Also, we're going to talk with Scott Spinelli coming up here in less than 10 minutes. He does the breakdown on the Believe Network. We'll talk about the NBA draft, get his thoughts as well on the Hawks. Kenny Pickett signs his deal, Mike, 20th overall pick. Mm-hmm. So he gets a four-year deal, okay? This is the new CBA, guys. Four-year deal. Steelers will decide on the fifth-year option for 26, that's 2026, in the spring of 2025. Will we know by then if Kenny Pickett is a franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I think, you know, pretty quick. I think the Steelers are hoping he's going to be that guy. I mean, the dude, like, to play your entire career at Pitt and kind of you're familiar with the circumstances and the surroundings. I mean, the receiver core is pretty solid. They got a great running game, takes some of the pressure off there, got a solid defense. I mean, they just need a quarterback that can really spin it. Of course, you know, again, he's a lot – I wouldn't compare him to a Herbert, but he's a lot like Burrow. He can move in the pocket. Yeah. Remember, he put the juke move in the ACC championship game, right? I mean, he can do the fake slide. I mean, he's got some moves for a guy that size. I think if you're a Steeler fan, the same way a lot of Falcon fans are hoping that Ritter can do the job, but obviously a hell of a lot more expectation for a first rounder.
Mike, we talked about the passing of Tony Siragusa yesterday. A lot of former teammates remembering him. Some of the stuff that they're saying about him. Huge personality, loved him like a brother. These guys are coming out saying, you know, if you didn't know Goose and the kind of person he was, Rod Woodson, Hall of Fame defensive back, he says Tony was always the life of the party, and I know he loved his family and friends. My feelings are overwhelming right now with grief for his family. So, you know, Rod Woodson, one of the best to ever do it, but he played with some great players, but they're all saying the same things about this guy.
Yeah, man, again, I know that he's a larger life person. I always got a kick out of him. I don't understand that anybody couldn't like Tony Siragusa. He's just a big, lovable lug, you know. And the dude, I told you the story, Carl. We've interviewed him a few times, and at the Super Bowl when the Falcons lost to the Broncos in 98-99, me and Plops were at a bar in Miami, and Siragusa's in there, and he goes, hey, because we had interviewed him earlier in the day. He goes, hey, you. Because I knew the bartenders. He goes, give me a tray of 7 and 7s.
A tray.
I go, define a tray. He goes, give me a dozen. and drew like, and again, drew like $200 down. And it was just big, lovable guy. I mean, that's, and again, the prototypical big, lovable Jersey meathead. Played his football at Pitt and had a lot of fun doing it.
No doubt, man. Rest in peace to Tony Siragusa. I loved him, too. I thought he was really cool guy. Mm. And you said it yesterday, too, about his movie career. He was in a bunch of movies, right?
Yeah, I mean, he did. The one that I remember we talked about with him was 25th Hour with Evan Norton. Did some TV stuff. Also did TV commentary. They had him with Daryl Moose Johnston. Eventually, they had him on the field, kind of roaming around behind the end zone for a little bit. Big lovable dude. Hey, man, DeAndre Hopkins, Carl, I saw this yesterday. We didn't get time for this in Guy Talk. He is still confused and shocked that he failed that test, and he is continuing, Carl. He has vowed to continue to investigate the test results, and the investigation, he says, remains in progress. I'm not sure who DeAndre Hopkins has got investigating for him, but remember, guys, he's going to miss 6 games this year to start the season for the Cardinals. PED, something was on the banned list.
Well, he was talking about, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. He put out, I think it was a statement, like, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. No, you're not. I didn't believe it then. I still don't believe it. I mean, whether you know what you took or you didn't, he's got the 6 games. He was like, I'll see y'all week 7. Yeah, we'll see you week 7, D-Hop. I don't think he's figuring any of this out, Mike, but it sounds good. Like, all of a sudden, he's investigating where he went wrong.
He says, we're still doing research right now. Again, I'd like to know who this research team is. Who is it? A bunch of top men. Who? Top men. So he's saying, does it take vitamins? I don't take any supplements. I'm never taking supplements. I barely take vitamins. For something like that to happen to me, I was shocked. Anyway, it was apparently 0.01% of something called Ostarine. And whatever that is, you can't do that in the NFL.
Wow. All right, man. Coming up, Scott Spinelli's going to join us. We're going to talk about the NBA draft tonight. What are the Hawks going to do and what this draft looks like? It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's going to happen tonight? NBA draft. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We want to get some more insight from a guy that I actually have known a very long time, Scott Spinelli. He does the breakdown on the Believe Network. And let's talk some NBA drafts. Scott, you owe me money, man. What's going on with you, bro? How you been?
Kyle, how are you, my friend? Great to hear your voice. And it's been a long time. So thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. This guy could flat out recruit guys in college basketball, but that's a whole nother story. Scott Spinelli, tell us what you think happens tonight. Who goes number one overall in this draft and why? We keep hearing Jabari Smith, kid out of Auburn. Is he the number one consensus overall, number one pick?
Kyle, be honest, if I'm taking number one, I'm taking Chet Holmgren. I just think that with what he brings to the modern day NBA, with his skill set, with his size, with his versatility, the fact that he can shoot the three, he can score mid-range, he can post you, and then he's a two-way player. Defensively, he blocks shots. He also keeps those block shots in play. He's very instinctive. His best basketball is still ahead of him, and I think, Carl, you'll attest to this. The number one thing to me that Chet Holmgren equates to for a coach or a front office guy is he does everything to help you win. So to me, I'm going Chet Holmgren, but Jabari Smith is a terrific player, obviously a tremendous three-point shooter, great talent, very efficient. So, again, he's going to have an enormous upside, a great career, but I'm going Chet Holmgren.
Hey, Coach Spinelli, how you doing? It's Mike here. The thing is, the height, obviously a guy like Jabari Smith, he's got all the things you'd want. Is Holmgren going to get pushed around in the paint, or is athleticism is going to overcome that?
Look, I think at first, it's going to be somewhat of a transition in terms of the physicality. But look, the modern-day NBA guys, that three-point line has become the great equalizer. And I think the key word now in the NBA, different, I think we just saw this with Golden State in terms of how they play, different than the past, it's all about versatility and skill and guys who can, you know, pass, dribble, and shoot. And again, the old NBA, I think Chet Holmgren would have had a hard time guarding guys like the Patrick Ewings of the world and, you know, those big five-man Kareem Abdul-Jabbar centers. But, look, he's not going to be down there as much. And if he is, I'm sure they'll give him some help on some double teams. But he is a very instinctive shot blocker. But to me, I just think he brings so much more than just, again, I get it. He lacks a little physicality in terms of where his strength is today. But, again, he brings way too much in terms of helping my team win to pass on him.
Scott Spinelli, our guest, he does the breakdown on the Believe Network. We're talking about the NBA draft and, you know, the process of how long it takes these guys to transition from being great college players to being great NBA players. And it takes some guys longer than others, which is why I absolutely love Jaden Ivey, because I watched him in the tournament, Scott, and you know, he put it on the floor for Purdue. He's a point guard, shooting guard. He can score. I think he's a guy that can come in and have immediate impact. They're saying he'll be a top five pick. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think he is a top five pick for sure. You know, again, I think to your point, Kyle, look, you know, he has been around, you know, a couple of years there. I mean, where he's played, you know, at Purdue. And so he's got a little bit more experience in some of these one and dones. Although I will tell you, I think Paolo Banchero is probably the most physically ready at 6'10", 250, just because of the way his body type and obviously being that size with his skill set and versatility, he's going to be ready. But no, Jaden Ivey is exceptionally athletic. What a great upside. He's a guy that can play multiple positions too. But one thing you really got to love about him is he's an elite level transition guy. But because of the, you know, the job that Coach Painter and his staff did, an unbelievable job with him. He also can play in the half court and beyond the ball, off the ball, come off ball screen. So I do think he's a guy that can play whichever style is going to be, you know, necessary in the system which the coaches are going to implement for him. But he's a tremendous talent.
It is Scott Spinelli with us, guys. A longtime assistant coach, some of the biggest programs in the country now with Believe Network, getting ready for tonight's draft here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Is it an average draft? Is it? Do you see diamonds? I know you're famous for getting diamonds in the rough. Do you see that in this draft?
Honestly, I think there's a lot of value in this draft. Look, to Carl's point, I think besides maybe the top five or six picks, you can make a case for a lot of different guys here that, you know, could be major impact guys. Whether it's now or whether it's through their time in the NBA. So I do think the first round, the second round, even free agents for that matter, look, there's so many players now that you have to go out and see. Not only do you have to scout college, you've got to scout the G League, you've got that overtime team now, and then obviously you've got the international side of it. So there's a lot of good players out there. I think the most important or the most obvious thing that really stands out to me about this draft is you've got a lot of guys with versatility and skill, and I think that's where the NBA is today, and that's where it's going.
Scott, we want to talk about our Hawks here just for a second. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if you're hearing any rumors out there, not just with the draft. We're just talking generally speaking here, and I know you're talking NBA. But we're talking about the fact that they need to make some moves. There are a lot of rumors out there. What do you see when you see the Atlanta Hawks, and what do you think they need in response to how this last season went and then maybe making a move or two?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, look, I mean, they obviously have a ball-dominant guard in Trae Young, and he's exceptionally talented. You know, he can score from all levels. You know, he makes his teammates better. But, look, there's some very, very good players on this roster. And to your point, I mean, John Collins, to me, I think he's one of the most improved guys, you know, that came out of Wake Forest and in the NBA. Obviously, Chris Paul went there, too. But, I mean, this kid, you know, John Collins developed not only a game where he had in college where he could go back to the basket, but he's a guy that could step away now, shoot the three ball. He'd catch it and rip and drive. He'll, you know, exploit a matchup where he'll go perimeter post. He has the ball skills to do that. I just think he's a tremendous talent. And if you look at their team, I mean, this is a team, look, I get it. You go through some hard times, and then, you know, there's no progress without struggle. But I do think the Atlanta Hawks do have a roster that has talent. And I think, again, I think if everybody stays healthy and they continue to just keep believing and get better, and their player development side continues on the path of like a John Collins, and they've got the star power with Trae Young, I just think this team right now is poised to do some big things. I really believe that.
And, Coach, that's the thing. John Collins has been mentioned in almost every rumor about the Hawks making a trade. Do you feel that he's a guy that Nate could – talk about Nate Robbins, Nate McMillan – could draw stuff up for? Because that's the one drawback, is it seems like he can't create his own shot at times in this offense.
Well, look, at the end of the day, when you're putting this together, and it's kind of – it's, you know, when you sit here where we're sitting today, we're not at practice every day. We're not on the film sessions. But I do know this, you know, from doing this for a long time – and coaching and, you know, even in the minor leagues and doing some stuff in the pros, you know, look, it's a puzzle, right? And you're trying to put the best pieces together that fit. And look, this is not a knock on a guy that's really talented, but if there is a guy out there that might be a guy that they can utilize within the system that coach, you know, is trying to implement, then I'm sure they're going to be able to get something very, very good for a guy like John Collins. But look, it's hard to really sit back and, you know, kind of judge, you know, what one coach or one NBA team or one college program is doing. Because, again, when you're putting a team together, there's a lot of ingredients that go into this. And the most important thing is obviously the pieces, but then you have the chemistry side of it. And then you have the system in which the coach is trying to instill. So, yeah, if they do trade them, they could get something, I'm sure, very, very good.
The pieces, I'm just sitting here thinking about, you know, those three elements you just talked about. One thing that Mike and I think, the pieces are there. The chemistry part may not be. And that's the reason why, Scott, we think there's something weird or maybe that something's going to happen when you talk about those three elements of making up, you know, the pieces, the chemistry, and then guys playing together on the floor. I want to ask you this question. We just saw Steph Curry win the championship, the Golden State Warriors. You've been around college basketball a long time, the NBA. How has it changed? Because I believe kids play differently today than they did 10, 15 years ago because of what Steph has done.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I think that's a really good point you just made. And let's really kind of analyze the Golden State Warriors in their formula, right? So what they have basically done is kind of reinvent the game as it relates to how it's played. And with that, this year, they decided to go even smaller and really play Draymond Green a lot at the five. And you have a 6'5", 6'6", five man out there who's almost like a point guard in a lot of ways. And Draymond, because he's a very smart basketball player, he's savvy, he's very willing to make the right play, and at the same time, he's not concerned about scoring as much as he is just trying to win the game. If he needs to do it, obviously he'll do it. And then the other side of that was what was lost in all of this. They went with that small lineup, and defensively, when they switched, and they switched a lot, they increased pressure on the basketball, and they were very, very good defensively, take away one or two games in that finals. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with the physicality. They get underneath guys. But again, I think the game has changed so much with that three-point line. And if you look at the four teams that made the conference finals this year, obviously you saw Dallas. Okay, they got there. you know, from the West, and they got beat by Golden State. But there's another team that's got star power, but they play as a team similar to Golden State. And then you saw the Celtics, and you know, look, you saw the Heat. Both of those teams played well as a team. So I think the NBA now is really that with those four teams made a statement. Yes, you can have star power, but to your point, you have to have chemistry. You have to play as a team. Those stars have to be willing to make the right basketball play when they get doubled or the help comes, because now their teammate gets the ball and they say, okay, my star believes in me. So he gets confidence, and it becomes a ripple effect now. That guy gets confidence. I'm going to work that much harder on defense. I'm going to really get better in individuals. So I think there's a lot to be said about the four teams that made it this year to their respective conference finals, and obviously the two teams in the championship.
Great stuff, Scott Spinelli. The breakdown on Believe Network, NBA drafts tonight. All right, Coach, we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate the time today, Scott. Thanks so much for stopping by, man.
Very, very good to be here. Thanks for having me, guys. See you, Carl. Thank you,
all right,
guys.
Cool. Take care, Scott.
Yeah, dude, I was looking at the resume, man. You're right. Talking about some of the stops in the recruiting that he's done at some of the bigger programs in the country, man. Big time. Carl, it's a great debate. Every time we mention John Collins, listeners get hot. Some guys say, you know, ain't working. It's reached the ceiling. Some guys hear what Coach has to say and think, you know, wow, why are we moving on from John Collins?
All right. And I know we're going to come back. We got Yeah Man, No Man. We got to talk about this a little bit later on. We're not saying that we want him traded. We're saying if he's here, use him the right way.
Right.
And then we're also saying in that same sentence, if we're going to make a trade, he's the most likely to be traded. You just heard Scott Spinelli say they're going to get a lot for him.
And again, DeJounte Murray, you're getting a guy that makes us so much more dynamic on offense. You got to give to get, brother.
All right, man. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we'll talk about what's going on in college football. The top quarterback makes a decision on where he wants to go. It's on the way in 20 minutes. Also, what Georgia needs from Nolan Smith. Our buddy Connor K. Riley put a nice piece out talking about Nolan Smith and what he may be this upcoming season. Great stuff. We'll get to it coming up. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid fire questions. The executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder.
All right, guys. Braves win as well. We'll get into that great series for our Braves as they get rid of the Giants. Dodgers are up next. More on that coming up. Bo Morgan, what's going on today?
Man, it's nice to get another win. Series win, 3 out of 4. Remember, the Giants are a team that you're now 2 games ahead of in the wild card, so you're in that second spot. You know, you'll play 3 more with them, so now you got a leg up against them. That's great. Guys, I'm pretty proud of myself lately. You know, Mike's worked with me for a while. Carl, I've known you for a while, too. There was a point in time in my life where I was a little bit quicker to, you know, get angry and lose it a little bit.
No.
Mike? Well, you can't say anything, Mike, because I've worked with you, too, and seen fire drills happen that you weren't happy about. But
he is right about that.
So, right here at our office, I'm driving in. We just had a great conference call, the four of us, where I talked the majority of the time, so that means it was good. And this red light here, thank you, Chris. The red light here, basically, there's a lane dedicated to turn on the Peachtree, and there's one where you go straight. If you don't get the arrow now to begin the light, the other way gets to go green. And normally with the crosswalk, you can't turn, and with oncoming traffic. So then the other side will turn red, and then you'll get the arrow. I'm sitting there waiting for the arrow. This gentleman is jaywalking, and he stops next to my truck. I see that out of my peripheral, and then I look up. Boom, the arrow turns.
Right.
So naturally, I look forward. I go to hit the gas. As I let off of the brake to hit the gas, I then slam back on the brake as a biker illegally riding across the road.
Oh.
I almost hit him. So I throw one hand up, and he flicks me off. You know,
almost
the
killed
bird.
A man today. You almost killed a man. Go ahead.
The man was illegally riding his bicycle.
Right.
Well, you're driving angry. Obviously, you're very in an agitated state because of the jaywalkers, so you didn't see the guy on the bike.
No, no, the jaywalker was fine because he stopped, and right. I appreciate it, but I saw him and made sure he stopped.
No, I mean, but this is, again, I drive in Midtown. I got to admit, the one thing I don't miss from when I lived in Midtown is driving in Midtown because you got people now that literally will just walk right across the street, red light or green light, as if now, blank you, I'm walking now.
Yeah.
And if you hit them, of course, you'll be sued and lose everything. So that's pretty
Touch
much the way
me
that,
and I'll sue.
Sue for what?
But
that's the way the game is played now in Midtown because these knuckleheads, bro, every day I was coming down, I'll double down on what you said, Squid. I was going down Juniper, and there was a guy coming against three lanes of traffic on a scooter in the middle of the road. I mean, what are we all supposed to do? Stop? Yes, everyone had the same idea I did. I hit this guy. You know what's going to happen. Forget about it. We're going he's going to Grady. He's going to want the neck brace, and I'm going to be out $6,000.
Well, what really sent me over the edge, instead of throwing his hand up and going, my bad, sorry, he flicked me off. So then he's mouthing something at me, and I absolutely lost it. I took the whole turn screaming at this guy. I mean, I tell you what, when I lost my cool, because you put the man who was jaywalking himself at risk, you put yourself at risk, you put everyone at risk because you couldn't obey traffic signs.
Yeah. Okay, so wait, tell me keep going. Tell me what made this illegal again. The sign had stopped, so he was not supposed to cross.
Well, first off, he doesn't have the walk sign ever when the light is green. He was on the bike right in front of me. So basically, he was trying to cross across two lanes of green light traffic in Atlanta, in Midtown, where Peachtree Street is.
Now, I would have just simply pulled out of the intersection and ran him over and killed him. But that's me. Again, as Bo said, Carl, I've matured now. I don't do that anymore. That's the anger management. I'll just come up next to him, pow, and with the door. But again, Carl, nobody wins with that one. That's a bad resolution right there.
No, it is. And I'm curious to know. This is what I really want to know. Yeah, man, no man. Bo Morgan almost had a tragic accident this afternoon after almost destroying a man's life.
He destroyed his own life.
Do people really pay attention to these street signs?
No.
They don't. And listen, if you go to New York or you go to cities where people are out on the streets all the time, and Midtown is like that. It has its own vibe, to Mike's point, where people are out and about and you're walking around. If you live in the burbs, it's not like that. Okay, somebody's going to stop at a four-way stop and then you're going to observe it. In these busy traffic areas, and especially in city traffic, it's just different. I don't think people give a damn, Mike. I don't think people care about these traffic signs. It says don't walk, they're going to walk. Yeah, it says go, I'm not going to go, I'm going to go. People just don't care.
Yeah, it's been this thing. It's happened. And also, of course, you also have the homeless element, too, where they just kind of do their own thing. And that's a whole other kettle of fish. But in this case, good for you. But way to show, again, other than screaming. The thing is now is also if you raise your voice now in Midtown, people just all immediately bring out the camera phones.
Well,
that's so now you have a video, Carl, viral video. So we go, you stupid zombie! You know, going really, Yosemite Sam nearly runs over a guy on bike. You know?
Well, let me tell you something.
Because everybody would have their camera out sitting there at the corner.
I had witnesses. This brings me to my question today.
There is a question.
Oh, the Chris, there's a question.
You know what? You're on the list, Dukes. All right. The Atlanta Hawks Twitter, their official account, they tweeted it's a day of big decisions.
Ooh.
Y'all, what you got? And they did. You can draft only one. And this is the easiest. You have to pick one in the history ever. And I love the fact that this was one of them. The first one up is Outkast Reunion Tour. That's a great idea. I would love for that.
No doubt. The second
would be Chick-fil-A is open on Sundays.
Ooh.
Really good. The third one, which is one that is actually dear to my heart, no pollen. The fourth one is bring back the Thrashers.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm going to skip five and come back to it because five is the most obvious answer of all time. Six is the MLK uniform every season, which I like that well. All of these are great. Right. Then the last one, no more traffic ever.
Wow.
If you pick anything but no more traffic, you need to move completely out of the city because you are not wanted here.
Wow.
So which one would y'all pick?
Oof. I mean, I love hockey, so that's tough for me. I mean, I'm kind of used to the traffic now, Carl, after almost it'll be 2 years for me in October since I moved all the way out to Coweta County. So, I mean, today it was a half hour from the old Turner Field, now Georgia State, to the office. Just bumper to bumper. I love hockey. You know me. I'd be the only guy in this poll that would say I'll take hockey.
But you can travel to Carolina or Tampa Bay or fly to New York. By the way, real quick.
Really?
The other thing I would say to this is think about this, because one guy said, I work from home. I work remotely, and I would still pick traffic, because here's the problem. It's not always the traffic on the way home, because our schedule, sometimes we miss it. It's the random traffic getting to, I don't know, my exit where I live to get the interstate. Or maybe it's Sunday morning. Why is there traffic on 75 South?
Yeah. Well, again, you got four major, you got all these, the 75, 85, 20, and then you throw 400 in the mix, everybody on vacation. That's the thing, Carl. I think everything I see in the rush hour today coming to work, and again, it was, 1:30 in the afternoon, it's all out-of-state plates. It's all people coming back from the Gulf.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, it's that time of year, man, and I think more people are driving with the flight prices and all the stuff that's going on. Bo, I, first of all, big shout out to the Hawks social media
folks. Clever. Very clever.
Know a lot of those folks over there. They do a terrific job. This is awesome. And the fact that you can only draft one, but the Chick-fil-A open on Sundays, I know, a lot of people talk about that. They just don't understand that, but that was not the plan for Mr. Truitt. So I don't know if that would be the one, but I'm with Mike on this. It would enhance our city by having the fourth sport in hockey. Of course, I want to see Outkast reunion tour. Who doesn't? Yeah. Yes, less traffic. Of course they should wear the MLK jerseys every year. That's a no-brainer. The pollen we have no control over. But bringing back the Thrashers, Mike, I'm with you on this, because it would give us that fourth major sport. And I feel like sometimes, you think of Atlanta as this big international city, which it is, but it doesn't feel like it without the hockey. We got baseball, we got football, we got MLS, we got college football, we got all the other things. We don't have hockey. Yeah.
I had Thrasher tickets. I love hockey, and I would brand it. I wish, that's why if I ever won the lottery, Carl, I'd bring the NHL back here. We'd get a team. We'd be black and silver like the LA Kings. We'd be so street, Carl. It'd be unbelievable.
Let me tell you something. You guys just wait till daylight.
We would have 20 inch dubs on the Zamboni machine, Carl.
Chris, I love it, man.
Chris, we'd be the first hockey team in the history of the NHL to embrace the African American community. Yeah. It would be so awesome.
Yeah, Well, you know what, Chris? I want you to save this, and when daylight savings times hit, and these guys are, and everyone knows when daylight savings hits, all of a sudden, traffic is twice as bad in this city. Or the next time it rains, then traffic is – and Mike has to drive a different vehicle here because of traffic and the rain. I want you to pull this and say, no, you could have picked no traffic, and you picked a hockey team.
Let me tell you something. This is a great job. For those just tuning in, this was a social media post by Hawks, and it's a great bunch of questions. I've always believed, with all due respect to Truitt, Kathy, Carl, in the separation of church and chicken. And I would always, especially on a Sunday when you're hungover, that's when you really, really need it bad, man. That's when you need.
Yeah.
By the way, made the trip to Chick-fil-A yesterday with Ike. Ike loved his grilled nuggets.
Can't believe it.
All right, guys. Don't forget, this is brought to you by the W Sauce. Bigger, better, and bolder. Go to thewsauce.com to find a retailer near you. I am actually already planning on using W Sauce in my recipe. It'll be a W Sauce challenge for Dukes and Bell tailgate at home, which we'll talk to you about tomorrow. Chris, get me out of here.
I mean, pollen is annoying.
No, it is. But like, there's nothing you could. You got to move if you don't want pollen in the spring, or what is it, in the fall when the leaves are falling. Right. You got to move, and I'm not doing that. But the pollen is bad. There's no doubt. Great question.
Carl, Bo just doesn't understand the value of tipping on fofos. That's the real problem around
this here, is
right?
True. I do agree. I'm just glad Bo's safe. I'm glad you didn't kill a man today. I could just kill a man.
I'm telling you, but Bo is bringing up a great point. I mean, the rules don't apply in Midtown, Carl. It's a free-for-all. And the police don't want to mess with it. So, again, head on a swivel and just don't – Carl – just be careful out there. Let's be careful out there.
Hey, Josh Kendall's on the way from The Athletic. He's coming to join us 4:20. We'll talk about our Falcons. But coming up next, he's made a decision and what it means on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.